Well, I'm very grateful that our members filled up the back rows and made all these visitors come up to the front. We're glad to have you with us. That's a plan on our part, see. That way you come to the front and we have to, you can't get out without us meeting you when after service. I have a very sad report, both for this church and for us personally, and that is that Teresa is moving to Amarillo. Teresa sits on the front row. One of the things that is a real tribute is every child loves Teresa, everyone. And she's gotten a very important position as a librarian in the Amarillo School District. And unfortunately, her parents live in that direction, or she would not be leaving, but she feels compelled to be near her parents, and so today's her last Sunday. Why don't you stand up, Teresa? So this is a really wonderful lady. She has a beautiful voice, and we always make her sit on the front row to help the song leader. And now it will just be me, maybe, to help the song leader. We're in for a terrible time, if that's true. But Teresa, we love you, and you go with our blessings. If you're visiting on the first page of the bulletin, you'll notice that our missions are substantial for a church this size. We have, these are the people and missions that we support regularly, and then every December we collect a contribution especially designed for missions. And you would not realize that this church does as much good around the world, all the way from Africa to Europe to the Ireland, and especially one mission point that we support is the activity of Brother Mike Zuniga in West Texas in the San Angelo area. I'm going to have him give a report on what his ministry is in a few minutes, but I'll tell you how we came into contact with Mike Zuniga. It was after the Hurricane Ike had destroyed our building, and we were having to meet in a building on our property. And Mike and his wife came to Galveston because their son needed some treatment at UTMB. They were at church. He was preaching in Laredo at that time as a missionary. And we found out that, in fact, I knew Mike's father, who was the preacher for the Hispanic-speaking church in Carlsbad, New Mexico, when I moved there. And Mike actually and I knew each other, had met each other. I was 21 and the minister at the church, and he was 16. And then, lo and behold, all these years pass, and we meet here in Galveston and get to visiting. And the church fell in love with Mike Zuniga and his mission efforts toward Hispanic churches. And so we have supported him all these years, he and his wife Hope, and we supported him when he was working in, I keep wanting to say Del Rio, but Laredo. And now what he does in the San Angelo area, he works with the Northside Church in helping build them up, and he's kind of a circuit rider. He preaches for a lot of smaller churches that cannot afford to have a minister. He was trained many years ago when it was still called the Sunset Bible School. And now, just recently, Joe told me that you have been given a BS degree from the Institute for your many years of service and activity. So you are now a college graduate. It took you 43 years. But we congratulate you. Anyway, he's here, and Hope is here, and their son Sam is here. So we've been connected with this church for a long time. I've always thought that the best Sundays in the early church were when the missionaries came back home and gave a report. And this is what we're going to have today. Mike, please come and give us a report.
I'm delighted to be with you, and no wonder I saw many new faces, and there are a lot of the visit. You folks are visiting the church here, and probably some are going on cruises or just taking some summer days, vacation time. But it's at any rate, it's good to see y'all here, and of course, very many familiar faces that through the years with the Broadway Church have been a strong support for the cause that we have. When we were in Laredo, as Alan has indicated, and now in San Angelo. I just wanted to read a verse or two from the scriptures that are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It caught my attention, and it reminded me so much of the Broadway group here. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, and he says, among other things, he says, "This service that you perform, is not only supporting the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone." Through the years, this is what the Broadway Church has done. As we have gone out and done ministry, it has been a great experience for us. And while we have been in San Angelo, I've had to do different things. And one is that there are small pockets of the church around the Concho Valley of San Angelo area. And these are small groups of brethren. They are either English-speaking or Spanish-speaking groups. And I have been very fortunate to be able to go both ways in language. And so I have been invited to go and help some of the smaller congregations around San Angelo and preach to them in English. We have been involved with, as Alan has already indicated, with the Northside Church. These are some of our brethren that come from the what they call themselves as NBC, and I thought it was the National Television Network, but it's the non-Bible class brethren. And so, while I'm not necessarily of that particular persuasion, they've taken us in, and we're able to participate with them. And in fact, one of the few schools, there is a school here in Houston, and also there's one in San Angelo and has been there for almost 30 years. And Alan, one of the kind of saddest thing about it is that even many of the local residents have not been all that familiar with that institute, Bible Institute there in San Angelo. Well, when we retired and went back to San Angelo almost 2 years ago, I befriend the president of the Southwest Bible Institute in San Angelo. His name is Ron Guzman. And he is the president and also the minister of the West Angelo Church of Christ. And so he asked me, would you help us out? Would you be willing to teach some courses? And we went ahead and did that. I started teaching some courses. We did one in English one semester, and then we thought we would entertain the possibility to see if maybe we could draw in other people, if I would be willing to teach a course also in the Spanish language. And I did, and it was good. We had several people from within the community and that attended the Spanish semester at SBI. And I'm still, tomorrow, Lord willing, we are going to be meeting, and we will plan out what my role will be with them as well for this coming fall. And so I'm looking forward for that. As far as the Northside Church is concerned, it's a small group, mainly of gray-haired brethren, and I am one of them, and so I fit in just right with them, and Hope is very active also with the ladies. And she does her thing with some of the ladies. They'll go off and meet some Saturday mornings and have a prayer session and interact with one another and try to encourage one another as well. So that's one of the good highlights. Another thing that we have done that I'm very thankful that we have, and that is that we've been able to increase the group at Northside, and we have averaged, even to this last report that I submitted to you brethren here, here most recently, we've averaged a group of 30. Every Sunday, at least, we'll have 30 people that are meeting. And the singing is beginning to pick up the pace, and so it's very encouraging to these brethren. And we meet the first Sunday of the month. We have a potluck luncheon. Those are always good, and not only for the food, but yes, the food, mainly because we draw in other people as well. And we take advantage of that. We have an opportunity to share with them and to get to know them. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. There is a book that came out most recently entitled Poured Out by Leonard Allen. And he is a very popular writer, and he in the premises of the book is that one of the reasons why some churches are struggling so much is for a lack of emphasizing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people that compose the church. And that has to be intentional, and our brethren need to be aware of it. And he says that when you do that, you accomplish that, then the mission of and purpose of the church will continue as well. And that will draw in other people. I'm sorry I didn't get your name, but you know what? I'll tell you one thing. There's very good churches in Amarillo, and you probably know that, and you're going to find a good home there in Amarillo as well. So, okay. I need to be brief, and so I just wanted to give you a brief information about that. I'm still involved, very much involved with the school and over at Northside, not only myself, but Hope, my wife, is a strong supporter. And so I thank you for your attention, and I thank you for your support, and I thank you for the love that you have shown it. It's very obvious. And what Paul says here to the Corinthians about them being as committed to the cause of Christ, and what the end result of their generosity brought about a thanksgiving of many other people. And I see that. I see that happening. And it is very much because of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. This church and Mike and Hope Zuniga have gone back over a decade, and we love their ministry, and they love this church, and that's the way it ought to be with more churches. For the benefit of those who are visiting, you might be interested to know that over 50% of the money that's collected each Sunday morning goes either into direct benevolence or into mission work. This church is very mission-minded, and in December, Mariana will be back with us to report on her missions through Come Before Winter and in Northern Ireland. So we look forward to her coming and making a presentation. For our devotional this morning, this month of July, my theme has been along this line: after we have battled the sins of the flesh, and we think we can relax because that's basically mostly behind us, what we should be aware of is that our biggest dangers may be lying ahead, because even though we think nothing can disturb our faith after we reach so many years of maturity in Christ, lo and behold, circumstances may change dramatically in our lives, and it may cause us to lose our trust in God. A radical change in circumstances may reduce our commitment to the Lord and His church. I have developed the themes in the last few Sundays that we can be assured in those circumstances that even when we are in such troubled state of mind that we do not know what to pray for, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words that cannot be expressed because we do not know what to express, but the Holy Spirit expresses them to God on our behalf. We have emphasized that we can be assured that all things work together for good to those who love God, that somehow even the bad experiences, as well as the good, will be superintended over by God, who will work them out for our good. Today, in about 8 minutes, I want to talk about a third prong of this theme. We can be assured that God is with us even though we don't feel like it. The promise is always in what we know, not what we feel, because oftentimes what we feel is entirely wrong. When you're going through a terrible experience and you don't understand why, or you don't understand any good that can come out of it, it is possible for you to become so angry at God that you think that He certainly is not with you, because you wouldn't be with you if you had the choice. One of the amazing things I learned from reading Psalm 73 in our study when he was describing that experience in which he had almost lost all faith in God because he thought life was unfair, when he thought that God was not caring for him as he expected God to care for him, when he thought life did not reflect the goodness of God but the unfairness of God, he said, "I was like a beast before God." You can imagine the state of mind in which he is so turned against God himself. He says, "I was like a beast toward God." And then he went to the temple and he prayed and he saw everything in a new light. And then he realized that God was with him all the time, that he was so angry with God. So sometimes we need to take the comfort to be assured that he is with us even when we have acted in such a disrespectful way to God. He may still be there for us. And that was the final conclusion of the psalmist out of his experience. Listen to his words again. "I was like a beast toward God. In vain I kept my heart pure, my hands innocent." And then you said that you, then he said, "I discovered that you, O God, are always with me, and you uphold me by my right hand." Monday morning when I woke up, as is my custom, I turned on my phone and read Joe Barnett's devotional for that day. And it set me to think about a passage that I have thought about ever since Monday, because it was on the comfort of God. He entitled "The God of All Comfort," and he cited in his devotional 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to read that, verses 3 through 7 today. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Joe mentioned in the devotional that in those few verses, the word comfort appears more than 10 times. The word comfort is derived from a Latin word, and the Latin word doesn't mean as our word comfort has come to mean. The problem with this reading is that if you think of the word comfort as we have developed the idea of comfort, of ease, of soothing, you miss the point of what he is really saying here. The original idea behind the word comfort is to come alongside of and to encourage. Give somebody the strength because you're there giving them the encouragement that they need. And the comfort is that you make them stronger. Not that you simply are like a narcotic or a drug that causes the pain to immediately go away. It is endurance in the midst of that same pain. That's the comfort that God gives. And it means to strengthen. And so he praises God as the God of all comfort. Not that he comes and pats us on the back and says, "That's all right, don't worry, it won't be too bad." But rather he gives us the strength in the midst of all of our troubles to stand up under them and to endure. In fact, you will be interested to know this, that the word that is translated comfort out of the Greek, the original language, is the same word that is used of the Holy Spirit. It is a word that's used several times. It means to come alongside of. It's composed of two Greek words, para and kaleo, which means to call. It has different nuances about it, but Jesus, when he spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said he's the comforter. He's the one who's going to come alongside of and help the apostles in their ministry. Jesus is referred to as the paraclete. When in John, 1 John, it says he is our advocate who pleads for us. I thought of all the ways that we can be comforted and how we can be comforted even while we're enduring terrible reversals in our lives and pain. Words from Scripture are a comfort to us. One of my favorite verses, and this is why we ought to memorize more Scripture than we do today, it was at one time more common that people actually memorize Scripture. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 has always been one of my favorite. Casting all your care on him because he cares for you. It's as if you just suddenly have a boulder that is just pressing against you and you think, what can I do with this? How can I handle this? And Peter is saying, you cast it off of you because God cares for you. Another verse that brings me comfort is the teaching in Hebrews chapter 4, that when we are severely troubled, that we ought to come to the throne of grace. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? In Hebrews, the throne of grace. We usually think of a throne as power, as distributing justice, and it's not something we would normally want to come before. But the throne of grace means it's a throne of unmerited favor. We come to the throne of grace for our help in time of need. One of the things that I would suggest to you is to write down some of these verses that are especially comforting and strengthening to us, and just write down the verse in your fly leaf of your Bible so that you can easily refer to it. Another source of the comfort which I suggest to you is words from the hymnals. I don't think some of the more recent songs of the church provide much help in times of real crisis, but let me tell you the songs that we learned in our youth and that were sung for so long, such as I Must Tell Jesus, I Must Tell Jesus All of Our Troubles, I Cannot Bear This Burden Alone. Those are the kinds of words of hymnals that can help us in our struggles. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. That's another hymn whose words can bring comfort. Friends can be so important to us. One of the best sermons I've heard was one by Joe Barnett on friends. And he took the proverb that says, talks about two walking together and how much better that is than walking alone, because if one stumbles, the other one can help the person along the path. If one stumbles by himself, he has no one to help him along. So friends are so important. When I was at the hospital at CBJ yesterday, a neighbor is a retired nurse. She reminds me, for those of you who've been here long enough, Anna Pearl Raines. I mean, she is a former nurse, very bossy, and knows more medicine than any doctor in the world. But she is a wonderful neighbor to BJ, and she's looking after BJ. Well, the thing that I think has impressed this woman the most is how many people have come to the hospital from this church, because to her, Vijay is just a woman that lives in the bad part of town with very serious problems of health. And I think she was captivated by the fact that this group of Christians loves BJ. And what a wonderful thing it is to have friends to help us. These are some of the thoughts that I wanted to bring to you, because I think that even when we feel like God is not in our lives, we later may come to realize he's right there. And he's holding us up. And what strength we had really came from him. This morning we're going to sing a song, which is in our services a time for people to respond either with a request for prayer or to confess their faith in Christ to be baptized. Tim, let's sing two stanzas. And if you are wanting to come to the front, please do.
Thank you, Alan, for that very powerful message. And want to focus, before we leave here, on the notion of the Latin word that Alan used was paraclete, one who walks beside us. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And for a Christian, we can never be alone. We trust in the Lord. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Precious Lord, we humbly approach your throne of grace. We ask Heavenly Father for your guidance, your protection. We ask Heavenly Father for you to do those things with us as you will. We ask Heavenly Father that the things that you ask us to do will be of service to you and to others. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we want to be the kind of servant that you can say, now there is a Christian. We want, Heavenly Father, to be the type of people who know that from whence their help cometh. We want to be the type of beacons for others who are troubled and have no reservoir of relief or comfort. For when they see in us, Heavenly Father, comforted people and confident people, they see in us, Heavenly Father, our love for you and our reliance on your promise. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we never, ever forget your words, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Even in the darkest times, you're still there. And it's important upon us, Heavenly Father, to not allow our faith to fail us. Pray, Heavenly Father, for those who came today, and pray that they leave here more informed and more inspired. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those who are here today, that they cloak themselves with your love and your words. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed, folks.